Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Bald Men on Campus, a new ESPN podcast hosted by Jay Billis, LaFonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg. These ESPN basketball personalities give you an all-access pass inside the world of college basketball, talking to the biggest names in the sport. As Bald Men on Campus, listen wherever you get your podcast. Also, hockey has returned to ESPN. The NHL has started back up, and that means you can stream your team's games on ESPN Plus, from the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning to the brand new Seattle Kraken. Subscribe to ESPN Plus so you don't miss a goal. Also, be sure to follow In the Crease, the ESPN NHL podcast with Linda Cohn and Emily Kaplan. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. Time of week, we have a guest join us, coming to us live from Yahoo Sports, covering the NBA. Vinny Goodwill, what's going on?
The streets waiting on this, man. They've been waiting on this since Thursday. Was it Thursday they got it?
We're going to get to them on that, but I got to ask you this. Dog, what was up on Monday night where everybody was getting dunked on?
Well, the one that got me, that was pleasant for me, was Jaylen Brown and Miles Bridges. That was the immovable force meeting the force meeting the object?
Irresistible force and movable object.
Yes, that was that one. Because Miles Bridges gives everybody the work. And Jaylen Brown has given a few people the work. And because it was overtime, I'm like, is he going to jump? Is he going to jump? Yeah, he's going to jump. Ooh, he jumped. That was not good.
Who dunked on the Ant-Man?
Ooh, somebody. Yeah, I don't know. Who was that?
I forget who it was that dunked on Andy Evans. Because me and my man were just sending texts back and forth. Because Jokic got yammed on. Lauri Markkanen engaged in a little white-on-white crime. Banged on by MVP, our Serbian king, yammed on him. And what was so funny was, you know that Anthony Edwards had one thing on his mind after that. Somebody gonna get it from me. And somebody did. I don't even remember who it was. It didn't even matter. Somebody was gonna get it from him. And then they got it from him.
Somebody gonna have to pay. Look, man, somebody gonna have to pay. Don't matter who, don't matter when, somebody.
And we're missing like two or three. Like, everybody got yammed on that night. I don't know what it was. I just never seen just run after run of bang, bang, bang. All y'all can get it.
Well, the one that got me was Lauri Markkanen. I've covered Lauri Markkanen in Chicago. Nice kid, right? He's not that type of ball player that's going to dunk on you, then stare at your corpse as you lie at your wake. He stared at Jokic on Jokic's home floor, playing for the GD Cleveland Cavaliers. When have we known the Cavaliers jersey to produce such liquid courage, especially for Lauri Markkanen?
I'm just saying, crabs in a barrel, you know what I'm saying? Crabs in a barrel. That's what that looked like to me. You know what I'm saying? Jokic out here doing his thing, making it happen. And then Markkanen with all them syllables and all them consonants in his name is like, no, 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 there can only be one. You know what I'm saying? And he had to go out there and put it on Jokic.
Hey, he performed like a man that got 2 K's in the middle of his last name.
He gave it to him, man. Like, this NBA season, we're going to get to the 75. But this NBA season, I mean, it's still like knee deep in football. We're still all there. But it's really interesting right now to me on a number of levels. One of them being, y'all really believed in the Lakers, right? Like, now there's a chance that they might turn this around. It's early in the season and all of that. But one thing about basketball, you covered the NBA for a long time, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, because I'm doing this from a little bit more of a distance. Slow starters tend to be slow finishers, too. You know what I mean? Like teams don't pull it together like they do in, say, baseball, for example. Like, they get to the end and then all of a sudden everything's humming. Typically, if a team starts slow, it's going to be slow. And I caught hell from them Lakers fans about Russell Westbrook when LeBron said that thing about, I always figure it out. And I was like, yo, you didn't figure out with Dwayne when he was in Cleveland. They were like, well, that's because Dwayne was finished and da-da-da. And that's not the same thing as Russell Westbrook. And I'm like, oh, it's not? Are you sure about that? Like, Russ doesn't look washed. And I'm not even saying he's washed per se, but he doesn't look it because he's still so athletic and so active and he still gives you everything. But this isn't the dude he was 3 years ago. I don't even know if it's the dude he was 2 years ago.
Well, two things. I think there was some study that said the first 20 games are as important as the last 20 games. And I thought maybe there's a middle, there's like games 40 to 60 that I thought were really important because that's before the point of where teams start, okay, we're going to not tank, but we're going to start playing the young guys, or we're going to start resting, you know, our older players who need the rest before the playoffs, that 40 to 60 range. But you're right. Like, Russell Westbrook plays one way. There's no greater acquired taste, that's the way I can put it, from a aesthetic standpoint than Russell Westbrook, right? Aesthetically, because of the way that he plays. The way he played his first year, his only year in Washington, was slow. Started off slow, finished off strong. Houston, same thing. They figured out something on the back end. We're like, we got to let Russ be Russ. But you can't do that on LeBron James's team. The adjustment is going to be give the ball to Will, except Will ain't Russ. Will is LeBron. And right. I'm not even sure, Bo, if that's the correct strategy.
So the one thing I do think is, I think we saw this in Houston when they picked it up, when they made Russ the de facto five, basically left everything open for him to get to the basket. Like, okay, that could work. And the Lakers can kind of do that with Anthony Davis. I'm not a five thing, where he can be the five without being the five, right? Like, he could be defensive five, not the offensive five. And maybe that opened things up. Now, this game last night against San Antonio was interesting, where Russ put up 30 something, but was only plus one in the plus minus. And I know that plus minus has some limitations to it, but I think that's the kind of thing you're going to see from Russ, where he's able to put up the numbers, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the team is doing well while that's happening. And then when he's out there with LeBron, I don't know how that goes. So like, maybe they can pick it up. Maybe they can. And I think 20 games would probably be a more accurate gauge, but that's a bunch of old dudes, man. And I was one of those people that thought that Carmelo was completely finished when he was out of the league. And no, he still has something to give. He can still give you catch and shoot. But he's a dude in the NBA. It just so happens that we're very familiar with him. But he's just a guy that's out there. Like, these old dudes they picked up, they didn't pick up like Bob McAdoo in 82. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they just got some old dudes.
Well, you tell me this. Whose style of play meshes with Russell Westbrook on that team when Russ tries to get from free throw line to free throw line? And he's playing that way. Who's running with Russ?
Nobody.
And that's the thing. So if he's going that way, that means DeAndre Jordan, yeah, you may be able to run, but what are you giving us defensively? Because those defensive numbers on DeAndre Jordan ain't quite good. Dwight Howard, maybe, but how much are you using Dwight Howard? Anthony Davis, when he runs, he falls. When he falls, he gets hurt. I don't think anybody wants to see those movies anytime soon. You know what I mean? Do you have players that don't fit Russell Westbrook's style? You have some players who, quite honestly, don't fit LeBron James' style. It seems like they said, LeBron, if we get this roster, will you figure it out? And LeBron says yes. He says, give me the talent. Because if I look at it on his face, Buddy Hield may not be a better player than Russell Westbrook, but he actually might be a better player than Russell Westbrook, and he's much better a fit. I think that they acquired Russell Westbrook, Bo, because they looked at him like Pac-Man. You're going to eat up all these pellets, all these minutes. So then come April, if LeBron is rested and healthy, all right, cool. Russ, you're going to have to take this step back, and I can take this step forward. The problem is, what's Russell Westbrook going to lead you to if LeBron is a secondary-ish type of figure that's not the center of everything? Because both of those guys can't be the sun. One of those guys has to take some level of step back. My thing, Bo, is shouldn't Anthony Davis be the center of everything on this team?
Yo, that's what I was about to say. We're talking about those two guys, and we're not talking about who might be the best player on that team. Like, it's hard to think about somebody being better than LeBron, right? Because, again, last time we did that was with Steph Curry, and then the Cavs won the championship, and we all decided we was never going to say nothing like that ever again, right? Like we made that call. That was what it's going to be. But they're going to be interesting. The Nets are 2-2, and they got the brakes beat off them by the Hornets at the crib the other night. And they're one where I feel like they could start slow but get it back together, just because they dealt with so much chaos in the last month that once that gets calmed down, they'll go. And they also all seem to be operating on the premise, man, that fool ain't coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're all on the, this Kyrie thing is over. Let us keep it moving.
Read this quote from KD. He says something along the lines of, you know, we're not going to sit here and cry because Kyrie Irving isn't here. When you say a dude's first and last name and that's your boy and you go to full government, not Kyrie, Kyrie Irving? Oh, there's some disconnection there.
They a half step away from this being a Diddy and Shine situation when they start asking Durant and Harden about him, and they like, I ain't even thinking about dude. Dude do things the way he do it, man. I don't even want to talk about dude. That's one of the funniest interviews of all time. Shine, I guess they made peace after a point. Shine could not bring himself to say that dude's name. Like, nah, I mean, dude, I ain't even thinking about dude right now.
Look, that's almost like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Man, I ain't got nothing for that, man. Don't ask me about that, man.
I gotta say this about Ben Simmons. I give him credit for this. At least he ain't whining about not making the 75. I'm a little surprised that he didn't, to be honest.
Because everybody else is. Klay Thompson is whining about not being on the 75.
Yo, what's so wild about Klay Thompson's problem with not being, excuse me, the 76.
The 76.
The entire 75.
The cowardly 76.
Yes, yes, yes. But I guess they had no choice, right? Like, what else are you supposed to do?
Send the ballots back. That's what you do. We got a tie. Hey, all us voters from Howard Beck to, you think you asked Peter Vesey, hey, man, we got a tie between, you know, Pigeon Paul Arizin and Paul Pierce. Who you taking? You know what I mean? Like, no, you send it back. We got 75 players, 75 spots. We ain't putting no asterisks by it. Stop being some cowards.
But the thing about Klay Thompson is, he's the dude that we think just lets everything roll, baby. No big deal to Klay Thompson. He just want to be over there in the corner, shooting his threes, go to the crib, play his video games. That's all Klay Thompson wants to do. Klay Thompson was on Instagram heated that he did not make the 75. Now, I want to be clear about something here, and this is something that gets lost, and we've been ready to talk about this 75 for the longest, right? This the thing about the 75 that people lose sight of. It's the same thing with the top 25 in football or your top five MCs. The thing about your top five MCs is you can only have five of them. That's it. The thing about the top 75 is you can only have 75 of them.
Or 76.
And we talk about a dude, 76. But we talk about a dude that's only made third team All-NBA twice and second team all defense one time. That's it, right? Like, what people need to come to terms with. And by the way, shout out to you, Draymond Green. I was sure we were going to hear your ass out here whining, and we did not. That's a huge shock.
That's the most surprising one of all. That was the dude that I swore was going to be out here talking about, how you going to put Dave the Busher out here before me? How you going to put Sam Jones out here before me? That's the one I thought was going to be out here telling us.
That just shows me that y'all don't really know nothing about basketball. That's all it is. Y'all don't understand. Like, I thought we were going to get that. We didn't get, but we got it from Klay. I did not at all. Now, granted, Klay got a lot of other stuff going on. You know what I'm saying? But we got it from Klay. And what people going to need to come to terms with, and I know this is going to sound crazy to you Warriors fans because of how y'all think I feel about Steph Curry. But when the Warriors turned super good, like that, I mean, they got super good, I guess, in 2015, but really the next year when they, you know, went 73-9, that's when you started hearing people talk about, well, you know, they got three Hall of Famers, because logically you would think that you have to have three Hall of Famers to perform in the ways that they perform. When the reality is, actually, Steph Curry is just that damn good. Like, right there.
Watch this not get aggregated. Because he's the system. Steph is the system that everything there revolves around. Go ahead.
Remember, which was kind of what we were trying to say before, but people, I did not do a good job of expressing it. But, like, when you really now, with some hindsight or whatever, and after last year, you go back and look at it. Klay Thompson is a very good player. Draymond Green is a very good player. None of them are top 75 NBA all-time caliber players. Which is to say, Steph Curry and his people won 73 games one time, right? Purely on the basis, this is, take Steph Curry out, this isn't getting carried, but so far. You know what I mean? Like that's what that was. And so people talk themselves into, well, they got all these Hall of Famers. No, I don't think they do. Like, I think they'll ultimately get in because it just goes that way sometimes. But people get mad at me about this. They went and got Kevin Durant because they needed Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant was necessary, or at the very least, another guy that could go out there and get his own shot and score. It just so happened maybe the best one that's ever lived happened to be the guy that was available. But 75 can only have 76 players. That's, you know, that's kind of where we stand. And y'all don't understand this. Me and Vinny, before, like, as the 75 were coming out, we had hours of conversation of what we thought would happen, of how we thought that the 75 conversation would go, right? And how it would play out. Now, one thing I disagreed with them about was, just because you made the 50 didn't mean you should make the 75, right? Like, things change. They are fluid. This is no different than a list in Rolling Stone of the top guitarists of all time, right? Some guys be in the top 10. Some guys don't get in the top 10. It fluctuates because you got different people voting or whatever it is. They put every single one of the 50 in the 75. Now, you and I both have different people that we might have taken out of that 50. I try to stay away from the old timers because I recognize the limitations. I didn't know what it looked like at the time. All this stuff, right? However, Bill Walton, no business in the 50, no business in the 75. Sorry. And if you go look up Bill Walton's basketball reference page, just go look at the games played column. It ain't there. Your argument is going to be that they won a championship with him, which is fair because he was the best player on a championship team. But the next argument is that he won an MVP. And if you go look up that MVP season, when, by the way, Bill Walton played all of 58 games, all right, you go look at those stats, the best player in the NBA that year was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, that's what it was, right? He was the best player. Walton just didn't do enough. Simple as that. It's almost like this with me. And I guess Derrick Rose didn't win a championship. But if Derrick Rose just kept coming back, playing 20 games, getting hurt again, and then made the top 50 or the top 75, that's what the Bill Walton thing is. Like, throwing in Derrick Rose, comes back and like winds up coming off the oak for, say, the Lakers or something like that, and winning a championship while playing 17 minutes a game. That's what it's like having Bill Walton on that team.
It's a great story, right? It's a great story. Two things. One, when you're making a Steph comparison, I was thinking, like, what did the Jackson 5 look like without young Michael Jackson, without 12-year-old Michael right. Jackson? If you just got, was it Jermaine on the guitar? Was that Marlon right. on the guitar? Whatever, like, that's kind of what...
Tito.
Oh, I was trying not to make a Tito reference, but yeah, that might be, right? That's what Golden State looks like without Steph Curry. A bunch of dudes with the same last name. We just here, right? We got Marlon, we got Jermaine, we got Tito. All right, cool. That's no disrespect, but that's what it is. And don't discount the fact that if Draymond has a hot streak this year, he gonna tell y'all that y'all don't know nothing about basketball and that he should have been on the 75 list. Just because he ain't said nothing yet don't mean he ain't correct. Gonna never say nothing.
Correct.
We got six more months of this, brother. Buckle
correct.
Up.
Correct.
Secondly, Walton is the glaring one. Here's the other thing that I found out a couple days ago. Minel Hassan told me this. For the 50, it wasn't select the 50 best players. It was select 10 point guards, 10 shooting guards, 10 small forwards, 10 fours, 10 fives.
Interesting.
Right. So that makes it even worse. Like, a guy like Bob Lanier wasn't on 50. So if
that
we're just...
That explains a lot.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it?
That's important detail. Because again, I don't think they should have, like you say, I don't think they should have just brought to 50. So Bill Walton, and look, man, they gonna think we hating, right? Because I know you agree with me on this. This is all I'm saying. If Scottie Pippen makes the 50, I just don't see how Sidney Moncrief isn't on the 50. Like, and I get that a lot of people, like, you may not remember Sidney Moncrief's game. Go look up the numbers. Go look up the stats. And in fact, I'll take you on another level of this. And this is for, you know, our more hardcore basketball fans. But the truth, Don Nelson's last 8 years coaching the Milwaukee Bucks, they won 50 games every single year. Every single year. Without a single player who made the top 50 or the top 75, right? So that's like Bob Lanier in that run, not there. Sidney Moncrief, two-time defensive player of the year, not on that, right? But you run all the way down, not a single one of them, and none of us, and Don Nelson wouldn't make your top 10 coaches of all time list. And this was at a time when in the league, you might have three or four teams win 50 games. Like, it wasn't like it is now where everybody basically come out here and win 50 games. Not a single one of those dudes made either one of those lists. But for me, Scotty, Sidney Moncrief to me is a better player than Scotty, because if there were a time where you needed some buckets, you could ask Sidney Moncrief to go get you buckets. Scottie Pippen was not a dude who could do that, right?
I'll take you a step further. And this is something that's a little more recent, even though it doesn't sound recent. Scottie Pippen's prime was barely 2 years longer than Grant Hill's. And Grant Hill's prime was shortened by an injury. A devastating injury that he wound up coming back from and made an all-star team in 2005, right?
Right.
Something we don't really see. Scottie Pippen's prime was basically 90 to 97. In 98, after the foot surgery and everything else, yeah, he wasn't that dude anymore. And everybody's going to say Portland when he got to Portland, but that was an ensemble cast. And when they needed Scottie Pippen to lift them in the fourth quarter of a game seven after you led by 17 points, he was nowhere to be found. So that's why I say Scottie washed after virtually 1997. So if you're saying Scottie Pippen, who's there? And he made all those NBA teams, and you know he hit the 94 season that everybody seems to act like Hakeem Olajuwon didn't exist, but then they forget the 95 season before MJ got there where he was begging MJ to come back because the Bulls were a 500 team. We all seem to sort of conveniently forget that Scottie Pippen wasn't that dude, right? Grant Hill was that dude.
Right.
All right? Grant Hill had, from the point that he entered the league, only his rookie year was a year that you could say that he wasn't one of the top three players in basketball. You could make the case that for every year Grant Hill was healthy, more so than Bill Walton, more so than even a guy like Bernard King, who might have a case, right? Grant Hill was right. One of the three best players in basketball from 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000. That might be long enough. That might be a sustained enough period of excellence, especially when an injury is on the back end of that, to make that list. You got to kind of squint real hard. You got to tell me something besides six championships in 8 years, and we're going to come across like we hating. I'm going to be the Detroit dude that everybody says is hating on Scottie and all this other stuff. But you got to make it make sense to me that Scottie Pippen's reign of excellence was not just a seven-year period and Grant Hill's was a six. And there's such a great gap. No, it really wasn't.
Scottie Pippen is only, there's two kinds of basketball fans. Either you think Scottie Pippen the most overrated player ever or the most underrated player ever. There's no steady on that. He wouldn't have been on there for me out of those 50. Like, those are the ones that kind of jump out to me. And Shaq was a question in the moment. But, I mean, obviously, you understood what the time was. Shaq had only played 4 years when they rolled that vote out. So I get that. You and I talked about this. Who were guys that didn't make the 50, who were clearly eligible, who would make the 75? And I think we got them all. We got Dominique. We got Bob McAdoo, who was a shocking omission from the 50, but I guess makes more sense when you tell me that it was 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And Dennis Rodman wound up making it onto that list. And if Dennis Rodman makes this list, how in the world is Dwight Howard not here?
That is basically, we don't like this dude.
That's it.
Because I'll tell you this, if this list is made in 2012 and it's not 75, but it's NBA at 60 and we're doing the 60 greatest players, Dwight Howard makes that list that year easily. Easily, I tell you. Why? Because he's probably the level right behind Shaq, Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, Wilt and Russ. He's literally right behind those dudes. For him to have carried a team to the finals, for him to basically have a 8-year prime, if you, I guess you discount his rookie year coming out of high school, but from 05 to 12, when he hurt his back, he was the best center in basketball, right? Here's a name, and I'm gonna throw this at you because we haven't discussed him. Someone asked me, hey yo, go look at Wes Unseld's stats.
Oh, they're awful. They're awful. I have done it before. However, and this is what I say about Wes Unseld on that. Nobody who saw him play questions it. That's the thing about Wes. Wes's numbers don't give you anything.
A context.
But there isn't a soul from that day who was like, you know, he was only averaging like 8 points a game. Right? Like, everybody who was there was like, no, this is something different. You just gonna have to. And you know what? I gotta trust that. It's like I feel about with Joe Namath in football. The only people who say Joe Namath shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame are people who weren't alive when Joe Namath was playing. Same thing with Wes Unseld.
It's two things I'll compare it to. Looking at Steve Nash's numbers in 05 when he won his first MVP. And you're looking at it like, he averaged 15 and 11. He won MVP? It doesn't make sense. And then you're like, wait a minute, no. Y'all didn't see that team play. Y'all didn't see that team, you know, basically change and shift the way that we look at, you know, the NBA for a period of time. And then the next year, taking it a level up, so understanding that, right? So I understand the raw numbers are not going to tell the story. And Wes Unseld won the MVP in his rookie year, and I think Wilt was second. I think it was Wilt was second or Jabbar was second. One of the two. One of those super weird things.
And I think it was Wilt because I don't think Jabbar was in the league yet.
Yeah, Jabbar came in 69. Right. And that was actually the year before Jabbar. You're right. So it was one of those weird things that we just accept. And I don't think that we examined as a voter. I wasn't selected as a voter because, large part, I was quote unquote too young. I think they thought I was gonna look at all these old dudes and say, I ain't see y'all play, so y'all gotta go, which honestly was not gonna be the case. I was honestly gonna respect and defer to guys I didn't see, because I'm not gonna put all these new dudes on here just because I saw them play, because I seen these new dudes. And that don't necessarily mean nothing positive. I seen y'all, all of y'all. You know what I mean? Like, Bo, I'm curious. Here's how I group things. I looked at Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, Joe Dumars, Klay Thompson. All different types of player, right? Which ones you taking? Paul Pierce, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, to a lesser degree, Grant Hill. Who you taking? So was it longevity?
I ain't taking Reggie Miller.
See what I'm saying?
How about this? I'm whittling away your whole damn question just to get out here and make this point. I ain't taking Reggie Miller. You know what that Reggie Miller thing made me think? Who was that? Was it against the Lakers that Sleepy Floyd had that unreal quarter where he scored like 28 points?
Yep. I think it was 87. Yep.
If Sleepy Floyd had done that against the Knicks in a nationally televised game, he would have made the 50. And I know that because Reggie Miller did. We are here because Reggie Miller had a two-year rivalry with the New York Knicks. That's what it came down to. And look, he played for like 19 years. He was a pretty good to very good player for the majority of that time. They got to the finals in the year 2000. All of that stuff, right? Like, I'm not saying Reggie Miller was a bad player. He's the kind of guy where they retire your jersey at home. That's enough. He ain't a Hall of Famer to me, and he definitely did not have any business being on this list. Again, where Dwight Howard's not there. I don't know how I feel about Paul Pierce being on the list, but I feel better about Paul Pierce being on the list than I do Reggie Miller. I would feel better about Tracy McGrady being on the list, who was at one time a legitimate contender for the best player in the NBA. I feel better about him being on the list. The thing that's tricky about Ray Allen was, Ray Allen, we forget, was a cold as hell number one option for a long time.
For teams that won games.
Yes. But he's like, when he was in Seattle, and I think that's part of it too, is he went to Seattle and we ain't see a whole lot of those games. When he was in Seattle, he was that guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he came to the Celtics and kind of fell back on it. And so there's that greatest shooter thing of all time. But no. Ray Allen would take you to the rack. And I think that's the thing that people lose sight of. Like, this just ain't some dude who was standing in the corner. Ray Allen once won a playoff game at the buzzer, yamming on somebody.
He yammed on McGrady. Look, yes. He took a team in Milwaukee with his co-stars being Big Dog, I'll play when I want to play, and Sam Cassell to a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, that's how good Ray Allen was. And then he went to Seattle and had Rashard Lewis as his second best player. Nice player, right? Right, nice player. And they took the soon-to-be champion Spurs to the brink in Seattle, where he was playing with the likes of Jerome James manning the middle. Remember that? Jerome James, who swindled the Knicks out of $30 million. Good for you, generational wealth there, but you ain't had no business making that type of money playing on that type of team because of Ray Allen. Ray Allen was that dude, no doubt.
He did not get me there where I'm like, I don't know about this one, dog.
I got you. I got one for you. Who? That makes you turn your mouth a little bit. Should Anthony Davis be there and Pau Gasol not be there?
Whoo! So, here's how I look at that. Anthony Davis, absolutely better player. Like, I don't think there's any disputing that part. Pau Gasol, career? Probably would say better. And it comes down to those two championships. But here's the thing about Pau Gasol, okay? I am not going to say that Pau Gasol is a better basketball player than Kobe Bryant, because that would just be going too far. But you go look at the numbers, advanced, like particularly the advanced numbers. The advanced numbers would tell you that the best player on those two championship teams was Pau Gasol. Again, I'm not saying that Pau was a better player than Kobe. I am saying, though, Pau Gasol was analytically the best player on two championship teams. You and I were both sure that he would wind up making the 50. Like, we were going through and guys that we thought were guaranteed, we were sure that he would be a guy to make the 75. I was quite surprised that he didn't. I was quite surprised there just weren't more international players in general. Like, that let me know that there wasn't no conspiracy behind how they did this.
Well, like you said, Yao Ming, Tony Parker, Ginobili, Pau Gasol. Maybe Ginobili is like the last one on that list, right? But I thought for sure that Yao Ming would have made that. I thought for sure that Pau Gasol would have made that, especially if you got Walton on this list.
Walton makes everybody's numbers look funny.
And here's the crazy thing. For those who don't know, you're listening to two Bill Walton fans. From the standpoint of Bill Walton out here telling you how the game is played and coached, if you ask me to listen to Bill Walton for 2 hours talk about the game, cool, sign me up, don't matter who playing. Like, my number one guy to listen to talk to the game is Hubie Brown, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if Hubie was on the committee. I didn't see Hubie's name. I wish he was on the committee. But Walton as a player, the resume wasn't bad, it was just incomplete. It was a lot of, you know what, he was great, really great during this period of time. He beat Jabbar in the playoffs. He won the MVP the next year. He beat Dr. J in the finals, came back down to it, and then played on the iconic Celtics team. That's what seemed to happen. My thing for the NBA was this, as an overall point. Are you trying to say who are your most 75 outstanding players? Or are you trying to tell the story of what the league represented back then, what the league tries to be now, and what they want to be through these 75 players? And to me, those are two, not totally different lists, but two different lists with maybe 10 players on the back end. Because there's like 50 names to me that are unassailable. We're not having a question. It's the next 10 and then the next 15 where you're like, well, I could take this guy over this guy. Or this guy doesn't have to be there. We're not quibbling over that because both 25 of the top 75 were players in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
You know what I mean? So by and large, those are players we didn't see. And that's no knock. It's just players we didn't see. So if you're telling the story, that makes perfect sense. I got no problem with you saying we're trying to tell the story of the 75 greatest players in this league 75, 76 years. All right, cool. And if that's the case, you make it 75 and not 76.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this, too. What is interesting to think about, I was going through it and like, so how many championship teams did not have their second best player make this list? Or at the very least, a second player. Let's just call it. And it's real modern when you do that, right? In some ways that kind of make it like somewhat hard to believe. So we can go through that. The 77 Trailblazers, they did not have two. Whatever year those 70 Sonics, they didn't have two. I don't even know if they had one, but they didn't have two. Did Lenny Wilkins play on one of them teams?
I thought Lenny Wilkins played on one of those teams.
Couldn't remember if he was the coach or the player coach, right?
And my daddy was surprised that Lenny Wilkins made the team. Now, that's somebody that saw Lenny Wilkins play. He's like, Lenny Wilkins made the team? I was like, yeah. He was like, and Adrian Dantley didn't? And my mama was like, wait a minute, don't they got the back down rule because of Adrian Dantley? Dribble, 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 dribble. Yeah. I was like, no, not really, but that was kind of his game. You know, that was just the top conversation my mama was having with me last night about Adrian Dantley not making the list. And she was just like, yeah, yeah, he was nice. He took all day getting there. And I was like, yeah, but still, he might have deserved to make the list.
It's hard to argue against it. And again, I got to make the same point against myself. There's only 75 plus one allowed on this list, right? But you go look at Adrian Dantley's numbers. I think the problem with Adrian Dantley is he did it in Utah. Like he just, the Mountain Time Zone, we talk about this all the time. What happens in the Mountain Time Zone has a tendency to disappear. But the Pistons, I guess they put Rodman on there, but I think Joe Dumars was the second best player on those teams.
Yep.
And who knows, maybe this is different. If the Pistons win in 88, then Adrian Dantley has a ring, and then Adrian Dantley is on the squad, right? But let's keep going with this. The 94 Rockets did not have two guys who make the 75, and honestly, perfect sense. Like, should have been. That's the way it, you know, it was. But the I guess Robinson was on the 03 Spurs in a lesser version, but still very good. But the 05 Spurs, all we talking about is Tim Duncan.
07?
Yeah, the 06 Heat had Shaq, but that was a lesser version of Shaq for whatever it's worth. 07 Spurs, yes, we're in the same situation. 09 and 2010 Lakers did not have two players who made the 75 because Pau Gasol did not make it. 2011 Mavericks had Jason Kidd, but again, a lesser version of Jason Kidd. The 2014 Spurs, they snuck there too because Kawhi Leonard got in there.
Are you a Kawhi should have made a guy?
Yes. You can't lead a dude off that got two finals MVPs on two different teams and was the best defensive player in the league basically for a decade.
I agree. Amin was arguing me down that Tracy McGrady should have made it over Kawhi. And he was saying,
No, that's prime, not where I'm drawing the line.
That was my thing. Like, he was a role player for his first 4 years. Yeah, but kind of, sort of, not really. Like, he took that, and me and you were both, to pull the curtain back, me and you were both like, wait, Greg Popovich said that Kawhi Leonard is going to take this team away when Tim Duncan. We were like,
right.
And then when he did it, we was like, oh, you saw something we didn't. You completely saw something that we didn't. And I had no problem with him. He was someone that if you name a guy, you're like, eh, I'm not really sure. But yeah, Tracy McGrady is. Let me see who else is on that list.
Yeah. Cat McHale's a role player for 4 years, too.
Mm-hmm. He's a sixth man. He's playing behind Cornbread Maxwell.
But it's interesting. People do not question Kevin McHale, but do question Robert Parrish. And it's strictly because of the way it looked when Robert Parrish played. Because that was one where I went and looked up the numbers and was like, oh my God. I had no idea that he had produced at the level that he had, especially considering the first 5 years of Robert Parrish's career were just basically wasted in Golden State. Robert Parrish was an excellent contributor per advanced numbers until he was 39 years old. So, like, he's a guy that winds up making that list. But the 2015 Warriors won 67 games, only one of the top 75 players. The 2019 Raptors, only one of the top 75 players. It is interesting that I take the moral of that story really being, man, it's a lot of good players in the NBA right now. Like, that's one of the things that I thought was interesting about when you think about it. Damian Lillard, I didn't need to put him on the 75. I was okay with putting Russell Westbrook there, and I wasn't opposed to Damian Lillard being there, but there's some old heads at the crib mad as hell about that one. Mad, I tell you, mad.
Look, remember there were years where Dame wasn't making all-star teams, and there was this public campaign about Dame should make the all-star team. What are y'all not seeing? And I'll say this. He's made six all-NBA teams. And I won't say that six is like the Mendoza line, but most dudes, and you also have to take into account that the NBA only had all-NBA first and second team until 87, I think. That kind of skews the all-NBA numbers, which is going to be more heavily tilted towards players who played post-playoff expansion. This is how I look at the list as a whole, especially when it comes to guys like Dame. Guys who played before the merger, guys who played in that time before playoff expansion, and everything since.
Dude, let me tell you, I mentioned, you know, some of the guys that we looked at as being left out. And Dwight, again, Dwight, I don't even like Dwight, but that one really bothered me because I just thought it was so inarguable.
There's no doubt.
Any room that you could keep Dwight out of there. And we went through this, these guys that won like wild numbers of defensive players of the year that got left off. Mutombo won, what, four of them?
Yep.
Ben Wallace won, what, three or four of them? Dwight Howard won three or four of them. Sidney Moncrief won two. Like, Mark Eaton won two, but that's Mark Eaton, right? Rest in peace.
Right.
But, like, he doesn't wind up making this list. What gets me about Dwight is Dwight was a legitimate offensive force until his back went out and was the best defensive player in the league. And you don't put him on the team?
Dude, listen to this. From 05 to 13, here's Dwight's just raw numbers. 19, 13 rebounds a game, 2.3 blocks, and a steal in 36 minutes on teams that made the playoffs every year, that carried the team to the finals, and that's including his first year in LA, which was a disaster for a bunch of reasons, including Dwight Howard and not including Dwight Howard, right? He was the best defensive player for a generation. And for us to say that we value defense, you know, as a basketball community, and then you don't have Ben Wallace there, you don't have Dikembe Mutombo, you don't have Dwight Howard. I don't know what we're saying we value. I don't know what's that saying.
How about this? Dwight Howard led a team that beat the Cavs when they had possibly the best version of LeBron James that we have ever seen. 2009 LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals.
38-8-8.
The only player I can think of that I've ever seen be that good in a series is Michael Jordan in the 1993 NBA Finals, where he averaged 43 points a game.
That sounds about right. LeBron was 38-8-8. And Dwight Howard was so good that it took a game winner from LeBron in game two, where Stan Van Gundy pooched the bed and how he defended that inbounds pass. In a game five, where LeBron literally scored every basket in the fourth quarter from it being a sweep because Dwight Howard was that dominant. And he was so dominant that the Cavs went out and said, you know what? We need to go get old ass Shaquille O'Neal to defend him. Everybody went and got a Dwight stopper for those 3 or 4 year stretch because there was no answer for him. And yeah, his offensive game might have been limited, and yeah, he was a goofball and all this other type of stuff, but you had no answer for him. LeBron right. James at his athletic peak had no answer for him.
Yo, I'm going to tell this to people, and I lean on win shares per 48 as a stat. I understand why, you know, not everybody gets in the advanced numbers, but it is, if nothing else, the most significant contributor. The MVP is going to be the guy that wins that stat. That's just kind of how right. it goes. And in small samples, it's a little bit tricky to use. But if you put up a 0.2 win shares per 48 minutes, you doing work, right? That's not going to make you the MVP, but you are out here doing work. If you put up a 0.3, you have had one of the all-time great seasons. Nikola Jokic last year put up around a 0.3 for the regular season. Like, there are very few people. That's LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, rarefied air of performance, okay? In the 2009 NBA playoffs, start to finish, not just this one series, but start to finish, LeBron put up a 0.399. So I am telling you that 0.2 is doing work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. LeBron doubled that up, and Dwight Howard's team won that series in 6 games. And they didn't win it because they had Turkoglu. They didn't win it because they had Rashard Lewis. Again, second and third best players on those teams. That they won it because they had Dwight Howard. And people just came to dislike this dude so much that they didn't put him there.
And I thought that people would have learned their lesson. Like, you didn't put Dominique on the 50 list. You didn't put Bob McAdoo on the list. You didn't put Bob on the list because you didn't like him. Bob had retired long before 1996. He did nothing post-1996 as a basketball player that says, okay, you belong on this team. And he rightfully got there. Everybody hates Dwight Howard. Here's the thing. There's a question, and y'all gonna say that I'm tripping. But if we do this list in 2012, you compare Dwight Howard's first 8 years to Giannis's first 8 years, there is a conversation. Giannis won 2 MVPs, a defensive player of the year, and yeah, put up a 50 ball in the finals in game 6 to close it out. Absolutely right. Unassailable. Dwight Howard's resume compares favorably to that. And we would never say that Giannis shouldn't have made this list. Because of what he did in his first 8 years. It's because Dwight went to L.A. and Houston and Charlotte and Atlanta, and Dwight's a goofball and everything else that he didn't deserve to make the list. But if I'm Dwight, I'd have been pushing Anthony Davis too. How you make the list? You ain't even on the flow half the time.
Yeah. But again, it's hard to make a list because the list got a finite number. You know what I'm saying?
I got a stat for you. And this ain't got nothing to do with the list. This is just a great stat. Every year, Michael Jordan played a half of a full season. So discounting the broken foot season, discounting the comeback season in 95, he finished top 3 in MVP voting. Or his rookie year, he finished 6th or 5th or whatever. But every year that he was healthy, he was top 3 in MVP voting. You want to know when he finished 3rd, Bo? He finished 3rd in 1990 when he averaged 34-6-6, okay? And then he finished 3rd in 93 where he was behind Elijah Wan and Charles Barkley, only to say, you know what, let me get that MVP up off you, Chuck, when he averaged 42-8-6 during the finals. That's when the league said, you know what, Mike, you had a good year, but you're 3rd. Every other year besides that, 1st or 2nd.
Yo, we're up at the end, but you and I have talked about this, but I want to tell people this so that they understand what is, to me, the most amazing statistic of all Michael Jordan statistics. And it is this one. So there's a stat called turnover percentage. So rather than just talking about how many turnovers per game somebody has, because the more you touch the ball, the more you're going to turn it over, so forth and so on. But turnover percentage makes it a rate out of how many times you've had the ball or whatever it is, okay? Michael Jordan, when it comes to turnover percentage, was in the top 10. And by the top 10, I mean turn the ball over the least, right? Like the low 10, however you want to put it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. And another time he was 11th. Another time he was 20th. And while you're hearing that, you're like, oh, okay, that sounds like it's pretty impressive, right? But the thing is, the other dudes who were doing better than him, they were not his peers, Vinny. You know what I'm saying? They were not people who had the ball as much as he did. So I'm looking at it. in one of these years where Jordan finished eighth, the guys above him, Jeff Malone, Harvey Grant, Sam Mitchell, Ron Anderson, Blair Rasmussen, James Worthy, and Byron Scott. All of that is to say, Mike had the ball all the time, and he wasn't get, when we talk about Michael Jordan wasn't giving you nothing, he wasn't giving you shit, including the ball. Right? Like, you couldn't just be like, all right, man, well, Mike gonna throw the ball away, and maybe we can get it and get off in transition. That dude didn't give you nothing. Nothing.
Just hope he missed.
That's all you could do was hope that he would miss. He wasn't going to make a single mistake. Not a one. And by the way, to wrap this up, why Scottie shouldn't be on this 75? All the lore around those Bulls, right? All the stuff we talk about. There ain't one game that any of you can name where Mike just didn't really have it, but Scottie came and brought it home. I can, like, people like, why James Worthy make that list? Because we can name games like that, right? We can name games where it's like, all right, Magic ain't got it. Cap ain't got it. James Worthy gonna bring this home. There wasn't a single game in the history of the NBA where it was Scottie bring it home. Not once. Y'all try to make him the MVP in 1994. Not once.
Michael Jordan was so great, he went to the Hall of Fame as two players. Himself and Scottie Pippen. Not said by me, but said by somebody else.
And on that note, that is Vinny Goodwill. Check him out. Cover the NBA, Yahoo Sports. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing 3 times a week. Gabe Bassan and Dave Presley handling things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.